Ooh, baby, do we have an episode for you today, folks? Because Layton and I, this is Brian, by the way, Layton and I read Breaking Dawn, the last book in the Twilight series, hopefully, by Stephanie Meyer. And you can probably guess what we thought of it, but you want to see the video for this one because Layton got all vampired up. That's right. There's fake blood involved. There's glitter. She really went all out on the makeup. So go over to patreon.com/Layton Knight to check it out over there and get access to many years of shows. Also, it's just a great way to support us and keep this show going. Thanks for your support and enjoy our discussion of Breaking Dawn. Should I laugh evilly? Like a
you
vampire?
Could.
No, sorry. Vampires aren't evil. They're good, actually?
Well, some are evil.
Some are evil. Although none of them have any characteristics, as far as I can tell. And should we just get into this? I mean, it's so...
Yeah, okay. Welcome to Layton Knight with Brian Wecht. I'm Layton. That's Brian. And we're back with another very special episode because we did a little book club thing a bit ago that we had a lot of fun doing and that people really liked.
Dan Brown masterpiece, Angels und Demons.
And we wanted to pick another terrible book that once again, we're 15, not 20, but probably a good 15 years late on roasting.
Oh, yeah, easily. When did this thing come out?
I don't know, and I don't care.
Before 2010, but not too much before, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to preface this discussion by saying, and admitting, should I say, this book was not written for me. I am not and never have been in its target demographic. So,
yeah.
And also, I haven't read the first three by design. So,
yeah.
As per your suggestion, this was your idea. I should just jump right in and see what happens. Now, of course...
Because we could have done Twilight.
We could have done Twilight.
I just thought it would be funnier if we went to the one that has the craziest shit in it.
Yeah.
And I'll be up front with you, Brian.
So we should say which one we did. We haven't even announced the book yet.
Oh, we read the book by Stephanie Meyer. Breaking
Meyer.
My fucking brain.
Mm-hmm.
I.e. Breaking Dawn.
More like Breaking Foot. that's the sound I'm looking for. That's the sweet, sweet sound of resignation.
That is the sound that I've been making over the period that we've been reading this.
Oh my God.
And you know, I'm notoriously a very fast reader. I struggled with this one. I finished it mere hours ago. Every time I was like, fuck, I really need to read a good bit of this because we're going to record and I'm super busy, so I can't like squander my time. Like, I'm going to have to spend most of my free time reading this book.
Yeah.
I think I went from like 30% completion to 100% completion from yesterday.
Same.
Fucking miserable.
I hated it.
So miserable.
Yeah. I could believe I finished before you by only a couple hours, by the way, because I just couldn't bring myself to read it. It's so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Okay. Spoiler alert. I hated this book. I really hated this book. I hated pretty much everything about this book. Again, not for me. I don't know any of these characters. I picked up some stuff about Twilight. You know, I know the Team Edward, Team Jacob stuff. Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson. Who plays Jacob?
Taylor Lautner.
Right. Taylor Swift. So I picked up some things, vampires, werewolves, etc. Didn't really know much about it. Even accounting for that, this may be the worst book I've ever read. I mean, it
wow.
is really, really bad. And it is... It's incompetent in all the worst ways. It's not like she can't write proper English or something like that. It's not like, you know, it is incompetent in terms of she can't put a sentence together. It is just, there's nothing unbearable. Interesting about it. It is unbearable. And so it's so smug the entire book, because you get the sense that would you agree with this? Maybe a little living vicariously, a little Mary Suing through the main character.
A little,
maybe just a little.
A little.
And
you know what? I will say straight up, I wanted to come into this episode like I expected to hate this and I'm going to defend it. As a child and preteen, when it was cool to be anti-Twilight, I was all about it. I caused a major issue in my friend group because I wouldn't stop posting takedowns of Twilight on my blog. And my friend was like a Team Jacob, loved Twilight thing. Like, this was a long-standing feud. Mm-hmm. And as with all things, you know, partially hated it because I think there was some latent, unanalyzed attraction to Kristen Stewart at the time now as an adult I can accept. But oh my God, this is the same thing with, for people who have watched the Jenny Nicholson going to the Star Wars Hotel experience video, where like she is the perfect person to go in with good faith and enjoy this. She is willing to engage. She's ready. That's how I was going into this book.
I gave it the absolute benefit of the doubt. I was like, I've never read these. Totally open mind.
I mean, like, you can tell how much this has sapped it out of me. Like, it's been a stressful week for a variety of other reasons. There's lots of stuff happening. I got metal rods pulled out of my foot yesterday, and I'm like able to walk a little bit, and it causes me very much pain and is very frustrating and difficult. And still reading this book is worse than watching the doctor rip two rods out of my bones, which you saw the video.
I did. It was pretty great.
I wish I had sent you Allie's angle, because she got a much better close-up of them coming out.
You send it. I'll watch it. It was fascinating.
Yeah, Do you like the part where he has to stand to get more
leverage.
Grip? Yeah.
Really impressive. It was I can handle that kind of stuff pretty well. I was at some point, I had to be like, I can't look at this. This is awful. But I'm proud of you for getting them out finally.
Thank you. It's a big relief. And now he let me keep them. But that's the closest, literally the bone thing. Cause like you hear me in that making I am not okay noises. It's because see the clamps like are coming off of the rod. That snap hurts because it's the skin around the incision. The feeling of it coming through the bone.
So weird.
The closest thing I can compare it to is like a pap smear or something. It's like internally something is wrong.
You were a champ in that video, very clearly. And you're filming it the whole time, too.
But oh, yeah.
You had the best attitude, which is just do it. Go. Just get this over with. And it took like 2 minutes, which is a long fucking time for him to pull those rods.
I was considering asking him to do them both at once, the same way that they'll pierce both your ears at once at Claire's. Just get it over with. But clearly, I didn't realize how much force was going to be needed.
A crazy amount. And he looked like, you know, he's not like a weak looking guy. Like he had, you know, he's an average, you know, reasonably strong human. And, is that the hot one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty hot.
And Allie was such a trooper. I mean, we had to wait for like an hour in that room. We were just hanging out with the anticipation of like, have to get the rods removed.
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, I would do that again over reading any more of this goddamn book. And I'm not even being hyperbolic. It has been such a miserable slog to be like, I want to be relaxing right now or reading something I'm actually interested in or playing Webkinz or sleeping.
Yes.
But no, because I was like, let's read Breaking Dawn.
I had to tell my daughter this morning. We woke up, we're getting ready for school. She's like, Daddy, can we play a board game? And I said, no, honey, I have to finish this terrible book for my podcast. And I almost passed out from humiliation.
Yeah.
I can't think of a sentence I least want to say, less want to say. It's What an embarrassing thing to say to one's child. I can't play with you right now because I have to, I'm doing something I don't want to be doing for something I basically am imposing on myself.
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, where do we start with this piece of shit?
We should give an overview. I'm actually really curious of what you think happened in the other books leading up to this one.
That's a very good question. Okay. So there are, at some point, I could not keep people straight. I have no idea who these people are. Also, they don't mention the glossary of vampires until, like, the book is basically over. And I was like, what? This fucking glossary?
Yeah, there's, like, a footnote.
Yes. Which is crazy that this book has a fucking footnote, first of all, but whatever. First of all, I want to say this is the first book I've ever read on an e-reader.
What?
I only read paper books. I like paper books.
How did you enjoy the e-reader experience? What
honestly,
e-reader do you have?
I just got Kindle on the iPad. And it was great. It was fun.
I actually can't even find it in myself to have shame about this. I exclusively read ebooks now.
I think it's fine. Honestly, the real advantage for me of this is because I am old, I can make the print nice and big. And yeah. it's a real advantage. I didn't
it's
even
the
need
benefit
reading glasses for it.
Of being able to highlight stuff and then PDF export the notes.
100%.
I adore that. I love, having the Kindle app where the Twitter app used to be is what broke my Twitter addiction years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And now anytime I have like a problematic app, I will move the Kindle spot there.
Nice.
And that's one of my number one life pro tips.
I think that's amazing. I had a good experience using the app. It was pretty easy to like adjust the stuff I needed to adjust.
Yeah.
I hate progress bars. I hate that we are all conditioned to look at progress bars. I always want to know what page I'm on. I really got too invested in the how many more minutes in this chapter do I fucking have to deal with on the app. But
it's also not accurate either.
No, it's not at all accurate. Anyway, yeah, overview. So what do I think happened in the other books? Okay, clearly there was some kind of competition for Bella between Edward and Jacob. And I'm assuming at the very end of the book right before this, she picks Edward. And Jacob is forlorn because this woman he loves has chosen not to go with him. Despite the fact that from everything I can tell in this book, Edward is a boring, sullen idiot. And Jacob is still an idiot, but a little less boring.
Yeah.
And also it helps, you know, there are three points of view that this book, the three chapters with two points of view. Two are Bella, because Bella fucking rules and she's awesome and she's the best and she's gorgeous and she's a superhero. By the way, all the vampires in this book are all X-Men, which I thought was an interesting twist. They all have a special mutant ability. Or
yes,
many of them
do.
That's revealed once. Don't even get me started on that. And I'm sure you will.
Is established in the first book. They all have their special little things.
Fine.
Like Alice can see into this future. Edward can read minds.
Yeah.
The way that they do a certain reveal on that in this book is it's the dumbest shit ever.
Everything about this book is
we'll get to the
shit
climax
ever.
Eventually, but oh my God. Climax is too strong
a
word.
Well, so that's an interesting part is because I couldn't tell what was a reveal or not because I don't know what the context is. So anything,
right.
I suspect that a lot of things that were supposed to be like, bum, 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 you know, I just flipped past because they seemed as dumb as everything else. So, okay. There's some situation that went on some battle with the Volturi that keeps getting alluded to that I assume was in one of the other books.
Yeah.
Also, in the vampire glossary, a bunch of the names are crossed out. So I assume that they died in other books.
Yeah.
I don't know. What else could have possibly happened? Is it it's three books before this?
I believe so. Twilight, New Moon, Eclipse.
And Breaking Dawn.
It's funny. I was telling Allie that we were reading these and she was like, wait, isn't that the one where it's like Edward's barely in it and it's just Bella being depressed about Edward not being there? And that was Eclipse.
So
terrible as Breaking Dawn is, know that it could have been worse.
Yeah.
I have read Twilight and New Moon, but it would have been over 15 years ago. So,
got it. Okay.
My memories of them are limited.
Assuming when these books start out, Bella is just a normal human girl, teenager. Is she, how I couldn't. I mean, I'm assuming maybe she's like 15 or something when these books start, because she's 18 in this.
She's
one.
Like maybe 17.
Oh wow. Okay. Way too young for any of this shit, by the way. So I assume she starts out as a normal human girl, somehow comes across Edward and Jacob in the Pacific Northwest, where the fuck they are.
Yeah.
Is it like on the peninsula in Washington State or something?
It's in Forks, Washington.
Is that a real place?
Yeah, it became a major tourist destination because of its inclusion in this series.
Forks, the best episode of The Bear.
Jacob was her like best childhood friend. Edward's like the new kid in school.
I see. And they were all in school together.
Yeah, and Edward can't stay away from her because she has the most delicious smelling blood, and even though he can read everyone's thoughts, she's the only person whose thoughts he's never been able to read.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. So what else happened? I don't know. There's a lot of back and forth about how, what's her name, Rosalie, is like mean. So something happened with her.
Blonde and a bitch and stupid.
Yeah. By the way, okay, we're going to get into this right now. The blonde jokes.
The runners of blonde jokes.
And they're all, they're barely even jokes. They are.
Exactly.
It's not only not funny. It's like anti humor. Because it is it is clearly intended to be sort of corny jokes, but they fail on every possible level. They're not even vaguely clever.
I'm looking at my highlights. You don't know what my favorite one is?
Yeah, do tell.
You know how you drown a blonde, Rosalie?
Oh, wait. Can I see if I remember this one? You put a mirror in the bottom of the pool?
Yeah.
So that is what? Blondes are egotistical? Is that the idea?
It's also like, gee, wouldn't it be convenient in this situation if there was already like a reflective surface on the pool of water? Maybe one that, I don't know, there's like a famous Greek myth about with the same message. Well, this also, is like, I live near a convenience store that replaced all of their glass drink containers, a glass cooler. Yeah. They replaced it all with smart screens that are supposed to show what's in them. It's like they're in this metaphor, there's already a fucking reflective surface.
Well,
dipshit.
But also, don't vampires not show up in mirrors? Isn't it extra stupid because she wouldn't see herself anyway?
Why is that not the retort then?
Right.
Because there are all these little jabs. And then it's just like, yeah, I've heard that one before.
And all the werewolf jabs are like, get a dog collar, mutt. It's like,
get over there, dog.
Yeah, it's just dumb. Everything about this book smacks of there was no thought whatsoever. All right, I'm going to look through my annotations. Let's see. I have so many.
Here's the thing off the top of my head that bothered me the entire time. I mean, as discussed before we started recording, you highlighted a lot more than I did. Maybe just it's like everything in concert is so terrible, where at least with Angels and Demons, like I texted you when I was maybe on the first 20 pages of like, this is better written than Angels and Demons. And I mostly meant it as a joke and then quickly regretted that. Angels and Demons is fun to read. I have a great time every time I read it.
This, it sucks, but it is a page turner. It's not hard to finish. Yeah.
And the ways in which it sucks are funny. The ways in which this book sucks are boring and embarrassing.
That's 100% true. Yes, this was not fun to read.
The thing I was going to jump on is like, look, I know the vampires have powers. This family has been together for hundreds of years. They are all so obsessed with each other's sex lives and clothing.
Yes.
Bitch, I don't want my sister-in-law being like, did you guys destroy that entire house? Fucking.
Yeah. Constantly. Yes. Yeah. Also, okay, let's talk about the fucking. Definitely, it would be hard to have less hot sex scenes. And well, because there aren't sex scenes.
No,
there
they're fade to black.
There are sex scenes that are skipped around. And then it. So, okay, the first time they fuck, she's still a human. And this was just insane to me from a character perspective. Edward's like, I'm scared. You know, I might hurt you. She's like, don't worry about it. You'll be careful. Okay. Because Bella, by the way, the number one thing that bothered me about this book is there were no problems that weren't immediately solved through the easiest means possible. And the easiest means possible was like, or is she actually, it wasn't a problem for her because she's special, because she's amazing. You know,
yes.
Every potential problem is then just solved by, well, I guess she's kind of the best, right?
Or all problems are completely arbitrary. So much of the conflict, and it's the same in the other ones too. It's just like these two characters hate each other because mark.
Yep.
So much of it is about, like, especially in the first book and throughout the whole thing, Edward does this overprotective thing where he's like, no, I might hurt you.
And he does that. So he does that here, too, before they fuck. She wants to fuck him once as a human for, I mean, okay, that seems like a valid reason. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'm still human, so I can experience it as a human. Yeah, I can understand that motivation. Sure. Now, I had to pick up, by the way, that vampires were like super strong and all this other stuff.
And run really fast. And their skin really fast. Sparkles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and their skin is like made out of stone or something.
Right.
So I can understand. I want to experience you once as a human before you turn me. Sure. You know what? You have eternity. By the way, what happens when the sun goes supernova? I'm curious about that, but whatever.
Well, footnote that for later, because we're going to come back to it.
So you have eternity to fuck as vampires. Give me one night as a human. Yeah, you know what? I'm on board. Sure. Sounds great. Then they fuck, and she emerges the next morning with bruises all over her body and, like, gradually discovers it. And Edward, is rightfully horrified because he has hurt the person he loves. And she was like, that was rad. Let's do it again. I was like, what the fuck is going on? You, by all accounts, almost died because this guy fucks so good that he almost fucked you too good, right? And then you're like, I got super hurt. That was awesome. It's such a weird, abusive dynamic that it was very icky to me.
Yes. And I think if they had just communicated some level of comfortability with kink or whatever, it's
or
like
something.
If you can negotiate that, people who aren't vampires who could potentially do that all the time. Some people are into it. Like,
sure.
They just had the conversation of, it's like, okay, there is a risk here, but you know, it's
my
fine.
My safe word is Renesmee.
Like, I was almost, it was just like, well, I agree with you on the ickiness, but it's also like, if she's telling you that she is actually fine and loved it, stop like arguing with her and turning it into like your feel. Like, there's so much of that in the book.
I understand what you're saying, but it went beyond just a kink. She is getting hurt in a way that might kill her, which is something that he
right.
is very aware of. This is not just like, hey, I like some weird stuff. It's like, you know, please almost kill me, which is a different level of kink, I think, right? There's like,
sure,
you know, and he's, by the way, there's not, look, not to be the one to say this, but he could just stick it in a little bit and then they fucked. And then it's like, you don't need to go nuts when one person has super strength and the other doesn't. Like, you can,
yeah,
there are other things you can do if you need to technically check that box.
Yeah,
there are other things you can do that don't involve getting almost killed.
Yes. Yeah, I do agree with that. And it's the whole wedding and setup to the wedding. And of course, Bella's primary traits are that she's clumsy, she hates girly things, and she's just so
upset. Oh, I didn't
pick
up on the hates girly things at all. That was not present for me.
I mean, that's kind of like her whole, you know, she's a tomboy and she's like her single father's child.
Didn't pick up on that.
And Jacob is like a mechanic and, you know, hold on, I need my red lighting back. There we go.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's into that and it's sexy because Jacob rides a motorcycle, if I remember the earlier books correctly. And, you know, she cooks her dad breakfast and her dad's like a gruff guy. But, you know, in the build up to the wedding, where she's like, I'm really nervous. I don't want to see the dress. I don't want to see what like Alice is making me up as.
Yeah.
Like, that is pretty tired. Like, fucking whatever. Okay. Just so irritating. I mean, Bella Swan is a classic Mary Sue self-insert character.
Obviously, yes.
The problem is that when you do a self-insert character like that, it is uninteresting if they are good and perfect at everything intrinsically.
Again, the one thing that I was shocked wasn't mentioned was what a great writer Bella is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a classic thing in the first Twilight book where she's saying, I was listening to music from my favorite band, but then doesn't say what the band is, which it I do. You know what I appreciate? That this book is dedicated to the band Muse.
I'm looking at it right now. That's one of my highlights right there.
Yeah, it was my very first highlight.
The band Muse.
And classic in the movie Twilight, Muse's supermassive black hole, which I can never not hear as supermassive asshole, played during a fun baseball scene. The soundtrack for the movie is great. It's very of its time. Anyway.
Cool. Here's my main thing about this book. Everything, I have no sense of time. Everything happens so quickly. It just flits from one thing to the next. And there are no stakes or sense of development whatsoever. It's just like, I had no idea how long things were taking. It was the ultimate example of tell, don't show. It's like, it just, everything suddenly, it's like, there's a threat. Suddenly it's here. Suddenly it's solved. On to the next thing. And there's the one place where that's kind of not true is towards the end when the Volturi are going to show up and people dither on and on and on about how terrible this is going to be, except for taking hours long fuck breaks in the cottage. So their lives are threatened. They have a new baby also, right? Who's getting raised by question mark, the other Cullens, I guess, Jacob, I don't know. And they're like, pardon us, we're going to go fuck. And it is explicitly noted how they might all die, so they better take time to go fuck, which, fine, look, great, if you know you're gonna die, go fuck, I don't care. But it seems like they are fucking for 10 hours a night or something like that while they're waiting for these other Italian vampires to show up.
What else?
That's right, they don't have to sleep. That's why Edward is so good at musical instruments and can speak all the languages and blah 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 blah.
And that have x-ray equipment at their house and like basically a full hospital setup.
Full hospital. I will say Carlisle is of the characters, he's probably the one I hated the least.
I like Carlisle all right.
He seemed reasonable and not quite as dumb as everybody else.
Yeah. I think all of his solutions to things and the kindness that he was willing to show to the shapeshifters.
Oh, that was that a reveal? Because I was like, are you fucking, they're not real werewolves? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I guess like, so.
Was that supposed to be a reveal?
I think maybe. Okay, so we got to back up a little bit because immediately she's getting married like next day after being nervous about telling her father. Her father is question mark cool with it.
Yeah.
They do the wedding. It's perfect, magical, whatever. They go to a honeymoon where she doesn't know
to
where they're
fuck
going.
Island. Yes.
To Fuck Island, where her sister-in-law has packed a ton of sexy lingerie for her. They get there, they fuck, she gets all bruised up, you know, Edward, the room's covered in feathers because Edward was tearing pillows apart while fucking her, I guess.
You have to. No, trust me, you have to do that. That's just part of it.
to sate the urges. A vampire has instincts, much like a dog having a prey drive, where if you give them a piece of toilet paper or tissue, they will tear it to shreds.
Look, if you put a pillow in front of me while I'm fucking, that pillow's gone. I mean, I'm going to tear it in half because, it, you know, the animal side of your brain just takes over. You have to. I you know, it's, you can't control a man, that's for sure.
Yeah, so they do that. While they're on Fuck Island, Bella discovers that she's pregnant.
The first time. First time they fuck, she's pregnant. They didn't use protection because why would they, I guess?
I mean, it does bring up, I remember this being the big argument at the time of like, well, if they don't have blood flowing through their body, like, how can you even get it up? And it's like, we're establishing that they're hard as rock everywhere else.
Oh, that's a good point. They
so
don't
I
have
guess
blood.
Is he just permanently rock
so
hard?
How do you get a bone? Okay, now this is
exactly
a good question.
Right?
How do you get a bone? No, but you could argue this for everything. Like, how does anything in your body work?
Yeah.
If you if suddenly the you're not breathing, you don't have blood, all the normal shit isn't happening. I don't know. The boner thing is the least of my worries in terms of plausibility.
He is so worried about hurting her, and yet neither of them think about protection.
Yeah, and what's going to happen? Okay, the other thing that becomes clear later in the book is there is a super ban on vampire children, right? On immortal babies or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Is this from the other books or did they just mention this in this one?
I forget. I think the newborn vampire thing that they keep referring to is in one of the other books.
Okay. So there's a super ban on vampire babies. Nobody thinks, including the guy who doesn't sleep and has nothing but time to think about stuff. Nobody thinks, hey, if we fuck, she might get pregnant. Now, okay. I mean, it's like also, if they don't have blood, that guy got jizz? Does he have little fangy sperms flying around? I don't know. I guess so. It must be something
like
that. Yeah,
what fluid? Where is the fluid?
By the way, yeah, thank you. There's lots of that. the 24 pairs of chromosomes?
Oh my God.
Which I was like, what are we doing here? Like, the idea, one thing I really hate is this like midichlorian type bullshit where you're like, actually, it's science.
Yes.
It's like, no, that is the worst explanation. So Jacob has some other number of chromosomes.
It was 23.
And they have 24. Like, what the fuck? Or do they have 25? I don't even know.
Vampires are 25.
25.
Werewolves are 24.
24. Right, that's right. So vampires are 25. That's right. Werewolves are 24. That's what it is. And it's like, come on. What? It was the most half-assed scientific explanation.
Yes, and we've devolved, like, it's so wish fulfillment at the beginning, right? Where it's like you're marrying your vampire husband and everything's
hot as
perfect.
Hell.
And, like, this whole family is rich as fuck. And you're going to a special island that's like literally just for you to fuck on. And then now you're pregnant and body horror and awful. And if they had like leaned more into like, this is a horrific, terrifying thing, but everyone's so fucking obsessed with the miracle special vampire baby, even before she is pregnant, when she's having dreams about how perfect vampire babies are.
Yeah.
And then she's like, we switch to Jacob's point of view as he finds out that she is pregnant with demon baby and she's dying and they have to like give her cups of blood to drink because the baby needs that. And also she goes from I just found out I'm pregnant to I am about to give birth within like 3 weeks or something.
That's right. Yeah.
All of the werewolf angst and the like, I'm breaking away from the pack and I'm the new alpha and I don't like any of these vampires. Like just this arbitrary conflict and Jacob being a petty little bitch about quote unquote losing. And it's again, it's like they're teenagers. The vampires aren't teenagers, but Jacob and Bella are.
Yeah.
And this teenager is now pregnant.
Yes.
And all of the debates around, this is such a bizarre pro-life book. Which maybe is not surprising considering Stephenie Meyer is Mormon, which I think is probably where a lot of the general themes of this come from. But,
seems possible. I don't know enough about it.
But yeah. It's like every argument for, or it just feels arbitrary. Everything feels completely arbitrary. And everything is about how special and perfect Bella is and how much everyone loves her. But then she shows no traits that would give you reason to feel that way.
Like, she's not interesting at all. She never does or says anything smart. She doesn't seem that smart.
She's not funny.
She's definitely not funny. I guess she's hot because we were told at one point she looks like a supermodel. That word is used.
This is after she is turned into a vampire.
That's right.
How clear was it made that in this book, at least, that becoming a vampire makes you super duper hot? That's part of it.
I didn't realize. I knew all the vampires were hot. I didn't know that was as a result of
them being. It makes you hot. Yeah.
That I was not clear on. Oh, I highlighted the mirror in the bottom of the pool thing.
Yeah.
Here's something I want to talk about. The fucking chapter titles.
Oh, I loved the Jacob ones.
Look at all of them. Okay.
I would like for you to read every single Jacob chapter title.
Okay, here we go. Starting with chapter 8. Waiting for the damn fight to start already. Chapter 9. Sure as hell didn't see that one coming. Chapter 10. Why didn't I just walk away? Oh, right, because I'm an idiot. That is actually funny.
And I also want to say that the first lines of that chapter are, I felt like I don't know what, like this wasn't real. Like I was in some goth version of a bad sitcom. Instead of being the AV dweeb about to ask the head cheerleader to the prom, I was the finished second place werewolf about to ask the vampire's wife to shack up and procreate. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, also because it's suggested that like, they get rid of the baby, and then since Bella suddenly wants to be a mother so bad that like Jacob can breed her.
This is the stud service thing, right?
Yeah.
So I highlighted that and I wrote a note to myself that said, what exactly is he proposing here? Yeah. Just insanity.
Will you fuck my wife?
Yeah. Chapter 11, the two things at the very top of my things I never want to do list. Chapter 12, some people just don't grasp the concept of unwelcome. Chapter 13, good thing I've got a strong stomach. Chapter 14, you know things are bad when you feel guilty for being rude to vampires. Chapter 15, this is my favorite one, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Chapter 16, too much information alert. Chapter 17, what do I look like? The Wizard of Oz? You need a brain? You need a heart? Go ahead. Take mine. Take everything I have. This is the worst chapter title possible.
Honestly, that's my favorite one because really? I know in my heart of hearts that quote, which is a chapter title, was absolutely put over like a picture of a forest in a nice font and reblogged on Tumblr. It's the exact sort of bait for that I love. Yeah.
Chapter 18, finally, there are no words for this. I was like, well, that got me hopeful that the chapter would be short.
It never was.
Yeah, the Jacob ones, I have to say, I did not hate Jacob as a character. He imprints on this baby, and then there's a lot of talk of the future sexual relationship between him and this baby, which is upsetting to say the least, and is acknowledged as such in the book, but
not nearly enough.
not enough. And then at the end, isn't Edward like, well, you never know, maybe when she's seven, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. Well, because there's the reference earlier on, like I've known about that forever. I mean, that is the classic thing that everybody talks about with Breaking Dawn.
This. Yes.
Oh, you were prepared for the imprinting?
No.
Holy shit. Amazing. It's like,
but because it's so poorly written, I didn't realize it was imprinting at the time. Like, it took me a few chapters.
The imprinting
to realize that.
In this book is like the child orgy in It. Because there's foreshadowing to the imprinting thing where Jacob is talking
to, walking around looking at girls, right?
No. Before that, when he has his buddy who's like hanging out with this 4-year-old or whatever, and everyone's like, oh yeah, he's like imprinted, and it's like,
oh, that's right, yes.
why are we all okay with this? Like, the reaction from everyone, including Bella, is just like a, well, yep. I guess that's just how it goes. Stop calling her Nessie. You have more problems with the fact that people are giving your daughter a nickname than the fact that your childhood best friend, who's been romantically and sexually obsessed with you for years and was howling in the woods as a wolf at your wedding because he was so fucked up about you marrying somebody else, hates the baby that's growing inside you, hates that it's going to kill you, and then it comes out and then he's like, I'm gonna fuck that baby.
Now, but, and the crazy part is, they had such an out too, right? All they needed to say was, look, imprinting isn't sexual, it is just love, right?
Yeah, it's a protective whatever. Yes.
Easy out. This is just the person you're dedicated to, and it could be paternal, it could be, you know, familial, whatever. That's an easy out.
But, and then the first time they introduce somebody who is imprinted on a child, it's in the context of like, well,
yes,
must be tough that he's going to have to wait like 15 years or whatever. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's awful.
You literally could have just not done that.
Yes.
Yeah. What does it actually add to the story other than like, well, here's the arbitrary reason that Jacob is fine with all of this now.
That's 100% what it is. And it's like every other problem in this book, it's just resolved. It's just like, oh, well, yeah, that was easy, you know, and there's no consideration of it. There's no even really discussion of it at any level. The goal seems to be give Bella everything she wants. And what she wants is to have both men in her life. Right.
Yes.
And so what this does is it gives her a husband and now some kind of best friend or whatever she calls
son-in-law.
Him her best friend. Yeah. Who even the fuck knows? But just
guy
makes him. It's
grooming
exactly what you said.
My child.
It causes him to suddenly be just chill with everything. And now he's like all good. It also strengthens the. So half the book is about the oncoming war between the vampires and the werewolves. Also half the werewolves, or three of them or whatever, break off the pack. Jacob becomes an alpha, which he was always meant to be, because everyone's always meant to be everything they were going to be.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of talk about, oh, the werewolves are fighting with each other and there's going to be a war with the vampires and all this shit. And suddenly every problem about that is just resolved halfway through the book, and then
because Jacob is
it.
Imprinted right. on Renesmee,
yes,
then they're like, oh, well, whatever.
Guess you don't need to worry about that now. All the werewolves also, but how does that fix the war between the two factions of the werewolves?
Because it's part of the treaty that the werewolves, even if though they're different factions, they would never go after who someone has imprinted upon.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's yeah. also like, I think the reason the alpha shift switched, I think, is because Jacob's father, there's like a bloodlines
yes,
thing.
Yes, I got that. But yeah. Jacob's father wasn't a werewolf, but his grandfather was, or shapeshifter or whatever. And it like passed through Jacob's dad
yeah,
to Jacob.
Something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. It's just so facile and dumb, like everything in this book.
Yeah.
Let me find other things that a lot of these I just highlighted phrases because I was like,
many tortured phrases here.
Here's a good one. It's not so hard to erase a blonde's memory, I countered. Just blow in her ear. Mm-hmm.
This I'm thinking of a line from the movie Jennifer's Body, quote, harsh digs, Hannah Montana. That's how I felt every time Jacob said anything in this.
Yep. Oh, here's another blonde joke I highlighted. You'll enjoy this, bloodsucker. A blonde's brain cells die alone. What? That doesn't even register as a joke. What else do we have here? There's a nice long pass. I'm going to get to some passages so I can read them. There was a really good one about Edward. Let's see. Oh, here's I like this a lot. This is from chapter 2. He had the most beautiful soul. More beautiful than his brilliant mind, or his incomparable face, or his glorious body. It's
yeah. Okay, so this is like romance wish fulfillment, right?
Yeah.
I would say that of the two of us, this book is certainly more it was aimed at my target demographic at the age that I was.
Teenage
to
girl.
To be sure.
12-year-old? 12 years old?
I was probably a little bit younger once it started, but by the time that it was breaking, I hated the whole phenomenon the entire time. I was sick of it. Mm-hmm. I have been on the internet a long time. I've read a lot of fan fiction in my time. Mm-hmm. There's a very interesting... It reflects so much about a person's psyche, especially people who do really intense Mary Sue sort of self-insert stuff, right? It's like, I think it... You can really psychoanalyze a person through what their wish fulfillment romance is. Mm-hmm. And then there's the additional level of like that. I find that fascinating, even if a fan fiction is bad or whatever, because it's always like, I feel like I'm in a therapy session with you. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Then there's the level of actually making it hot. This book don't come close.
No.
Hello?
It's very unhot.
It's also not hard to do. Like, if you are a human who has sexual desires and at least some ability to put pen to paper, as Stephanie Meyer clearly has, this is like a cogent book, I guess.
Yes, it makes sense. And, you know, yes.
It is bone dry. Where's the eroticism? It's not there. How dare you? Like, the fade to black sex scenes, not that I would have enjoyed writing whatever...
No, it'd be
warped
awful.
Version of hot sex this lady would be writing. Because I'll go on this again. It is hard to write good sex scenes.
Sure.
Because I've seen it. When somebody does it wrong, it's like the most excruciating thing possible.
Yes,
it's terrible.
Terrible.
Like, even
for
down
everybody
to,
involved.
Yeah, and down to word choice alone. There's like a constellation of words that you can use for anatomy and acts. 90% of them are so off-putting.
What? And now I know we've talked about this. Give me your tops. Just as a reminder.
Member. Member is a bad one.
Member's real bad. Yep.
Box. Any sort of word for like vaginal fluid, like cream. I recall
it was a good cream, maybe the best cream we've ever done on this show.
I remember one that used the phrase, and please put like a little cat roar over the second of word of this, but this has always stuck with me, describing someone soupy.
Soupy. Hold on, making a note.
The soup du jour.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I don't
box
like
is another bad one.
Sex as a
oh,
noun.
Oh, using sex as a noun. Yeah, that one is pretty bad.
Very off-putting.
Length.
One, a good vagina one I heard or read once. I feel like somewhere in college people would, you know, like read shitty sex scenes. Yeah. Marshy inlet. I'll always remember that. Reading, being in a dorm and people being like, Marshy, it was like a Harlequin romance, you know.
Yeah,
kind of
thing.
Which no shade on those if people like them, but that is not, you know, not
Marshy
one of the hotter
inlet.
Words.
I can't believe I'm blanking because I've read so much of this stuff in my life that I can't believe that I'm blanking. It's just, it is so cringy to read ones that are written badly.
Yes.
Or a thing that'll happen is like somebody doesn't want to repeat the names of the characters too much, so then just starts referring to them by their hair color or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like, then the blonde's hand skated down the expanse of their stomach. Ugh.
I do like the phrase, and their hands wandered south. That's always a good one.
South, down there, private.
Down there is the worst. Privates is really bad, too.
I mean, and then you can't use crotch, even though that's kind of like
a useful
awful word.
It's
the least sexy version of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of that to say, if this is the wish fulfillment book, this is the one where I want to read about them having sex. I've read 4 novels to get to the point where they actually fuck. And it's been made such a...
Of course, they're not going to fuck before marriage, of course.
Of course. Yeah, and that's the other thing. So much of the books, I mean, the reason Edward is gone from most of Eclipse is he's like, I can't be around you because I'm going to kill you if we have sex.
Which then is kind of just not a problem. Like every other problem in this book, it's like you are told over and over. Sorry, finish this thought and then I have another thing.
You didn't think far enough ahead. You're so worried that you like took off for a year so you wouldn't hurt this girl that you're obsessed with. You didn't even consider the possibility of her getting pregnant.
Yeah.
That's like, right. Even if you were human teenagers, would you not? That's kind of like the primary concern. What the fuck?
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, I wouldn't have wanted to actually read them having sex. I just want to say that it's the coward's way out to not write, to not even give us a little bit, because it's literally like she loses her virginity.
Yes.
During that first night. And then the next morning, she's like, I'm covered in bruises and there are feathers everywhere. Whee!
That's so interesting. I did not even put together that that was her losing her virginity because nothing is made of it in the book. It's like not even a thing, which is wild, considering the author and the character.
Yes.
I remember someone, it was an article or something I read recently about, you know, people maybe being more prudish in the modern era, and it was it was exactly what this book is, and the title was Everybody is Hot and Nobody's Having Sex, and that feels like what's going on here. Everybody is described as being so fucking hot. They're pure sexual charisma. They're supermodels. They're the most attractive people you've ever seen. And it is alluded to that, when you're, you know, if you get newly partnered up with a vampire, you're just going to go off and fuck for a couple years, and because you got nothing better to do and you don't need to breathe and you don't need to drink or eat, you know, just you're going to fuck and then hunt and then fuck and then hunt. And it's, you know, it's a lot like a typical weekend for me. It is clearly acknowledged that vampires fuck a lot. But aside from these snarky, like, you know, teenage digs.
Also, like, here's all your in-laws constantly gossiping about how much you guys are fucking.
Yes.
The most we get is that, like, they make out a little bit.
Yeah. This is, so what's interesting about, there's a version of this, which What We Do in the Shadows does really well, which is you've got a bunch of immortal beings, right? Their idea of morality and sexuality is totally different than a human's, pretty much. They're just going to fuck everything because they live forever and it doesn't matter. Great. There's, you know, every What We Do in the Shadows, I forget, it might have been Harvey Guillen or somebody that on the show that said it, they're like, it's the queerest show on TV, but nobody talks about being queer because it's just such a fact of life that all these vampires are pansexual, and it even transcends species, just everybody's fucking everything in this thing. There's an opportunity for something like this here, and it is, of course, I don't expect any, you know, apart from a subtext or whatever, any kind of queerness in this book at all. Maybe it's there, but I didn't detect
it. Now that I think, I don't think there are any in the entire series, maybe? Question mark?
My impression of this is everybody's straight and everybody's white. Now, maybe that's not true.
Yeah.
But so maybe, you know, they're like Egyptian, I mean, except characters and stuff. But
at the very end where there's like the other half,
which is like, done in a
the
pretty...
one that is like Renesmee.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, okay. So I want to talk about this because this really, really bothered me.
Hold on. While you're talking about it, for people who aren't on the Patreon, which you're not on the Patreon, thus I sentence you to having to read Stephanie Meyer's Breaking Dawn. Yeah. Because I was so depressed about having to do this episode about this stupid fucking book that I've spent like the past week agonizing over having to read because it's such a chore, I did a special little vampire makeup look and my dried blood is not looking as bloody as I want it to.
I noticed you were kind of fond.
Please go on.
So here's the thing. Okay.
Too much.
We're just jumping around. Yeah, right. Just go for it. Oh, amazing. Yeah, really glob it on there.
No, don't get on my Neopets shirt. Fuck. No. Ew, it's so goopy.
Do you need to go wipe it off?
No, I don't, because I'm committing to the bit.
The bit, get it? okay, at the end of this book, what's your name, Alice?
It's in my hair. Yes, it's Alice.
That's maybe the most Leighton thing I've ever heard. Oh no, there's fake blood in my hair.
No, the most Leighton thing is that I'm going to be really pissed if this gets on my Neopets shirt, which is also from Hot Topic, by the way.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So Alice has some kind of defection where she just goes off. She leaves. Why? We don't know, but the thing that is stated slash implied is she knows they're going to lose, so she basically, in an act of self-preservation, just gets out of Dodge. And
No. It's because her power is that she can see the future. Edward can read minds. Edward has to let the Volturi read his mind to know that Renesmee is on the level. But if they read his mind, they'll see what Alice saw in the future, and also they want Alice's powers so she can be with the Volturi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I was wrong about that. Anyway, she leaves. This guy, what's his name? Aro? And the Volturi come in. Aro? Mm-hmm. His name's, you pronounce it Aro?
I have no... Okay. Resident Twilight expert here. Yeah. I have no fucking idea.
Well, he's Italian, so I'm going to call it Aro. Okay. He comes with a bunch of other dudes or whatever. And they have... So, what's her name? Irina shows up briefly, is like, whoa, immortal baby. I better not check on this at all. And immediately jump to conclusions and then go home and tell everybody.
And then all the way to fucking Italy?
Go all the way to Italy. Come back. Now, it is stated they have a month. Why a month? That's a crazy amount of time to get 40 people from Italy to Seattle. But okay, fine. It should take, I mean, if you were going as fast as possible, 4 days, maybe? I don't even know. And also they have super
speed.
They're
vampires. They're supposed to move to you. It's referenced that they could swim across the ocean if they wanted to.
They never get tired. So they could, yeah. Who the fuck knows why it's taking so long? But it is, for whatever reason. Anyway. So Irina shows up. She sees what she thinks is an immortal baby, doesn't check on it at all, immediately goes home. Everyone's like, oh no, we're fucked. We better get ready for this fight. Bella learns that her superpower is that she is a shield, which, like everything else in Bella's life, she's told, you're not going to be able to control this fast. She just does somehow because she's amazing. And just like when she's a newborn vampire, they're like, you're going to be out of fucking control for years. And then she's not out of control literally at all. Maybe for 2 seconds once.
Yes. And they're all like stunned at her and like how gorgeous she is. And like she jumps out a window for the first time and they're like, you are so graceful.
It's the most graceful landing I've ever seen. Right.
Also, she takes down a mountain lion. She jumps further than Edward right over a creek. She's just the best vampire ever.
And she like rips her dress in a cool way too.
Oh my God.
Anyway.
The dress, which she's died after taking the baby out. They've put all the venom in her. She's like 2 days in getting burned up by vampire venom, whatever. Yeah. And in that time, her sister-in-law, Alice, puts like a satin slip and high heels on her. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's so dumb. And also, by the way, when she's sitting there like converting into a vampire, she's like, it's the worst pain she's ever felt in her entire life, and she patently refuses to say anything about it to anybody. She's just laying there like stiff as a board, hoping that it'll stop, instead of, I don't know, distracting herself or
screaming
whatever. Or screaming or whatever, because she doesn't want Edward to feel bad. Anyway, okay, so the Italian vampires show up. They need to do some kind of investigation of whether this is an immortal baby and some bullshit, you know, some truce or whatever has been violated. They read minds and immediately come to the conclusion that this is not an immortal baby. Like, so quickly. And then they kill Irina, which...
Yeah.
Okay, like, real fast, too. And it's like, maybe she should have checked before blowing it all up. But they hint their other motivations, like he wants the powers and stuff like that, too. Okay. Then, by the way, Aro has a very reasonable point of view here, where he's like, look, immortal vampire babies, they were a big problem in the past. We can't have them again. How do we know that there's not going to be some shit with this one? Whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Renesmee might legitimately be a problem. This is not a terrible point to make. he's got good reasons. So what happens is Alice, it turns out, has been gallivanting around the world based on, I think, local legends, looking for half vampire, half humans, finds a mature one in the Amazon, I believe, brings him back and is like, yo, check it. This guy's fine. And then everything's chill. Then, after Alice has just come back from Brazil or wherever she was, somewhere in South America, bringing this guy back and saving the day, Edward goes, you did it, Bella. You saved us all. And I screamed when I read that. I was like, she I guess, extended her shield and protected people. But the hard work was done by Alice, who also had some weird fucking deception here about who she was going, and also the Merchant of Venice thing where she's leaving her lawyers. Like,
yeah, so Bella has to go track down this lawyer to get fake documents just in case she need that everybody dies, and just in case she needs to let her newborn baby's groomer raise her exclusively under false names, which is the best case scenario.
Yes.
The thing about this climax being so anticlimactic, sorry, I can't get over the fact that doing both lines of blood down my face makes me look like Billy the Puppet from Saw.
You're not wrong about that.
Do you want to play a game?
I believe that puppet's name is Saw, though.
Right, yes, Saw the Puppet.
Yeah.
The game involves you have to read Breaking Dawn. That's it. That's all. Right. There's no threat of bodily injury.
You just get you. If you can finish Breaking Dawn, you can leave. But the irony is, you'll want to die.
Yeah. But this is the reason why, as we discussed with Chris Grace in the movie, and this scandalized people, that there is a huge fight scene where everyone gets their heads ripped off, everybody dies.
Oh, really?
And then it was all a fantasy. It was all like one of Alice's visions, because obviously they couldn't make this huge cultural phenomenon's finale have the climax that it has in the book, because
right,
they literally just talk. Then Bella does her mind shield, and then that prevents, like, there's no actual fighting. It's
not even a little, except for Arena getting destroyed.
Yeah, there's like two of the vampires who can like make people turn against each other, and that's their power. And Bella prevents that. And then Alice shows up and is like, look, here's the first non-white person in the book.
Yeah.
Who is literally showing up to be used as a token.
Yes.
Which is maybe not fair to me, because of all the werewolves are like, I don't know exactly what. Their Native American. I don't know which tribe.
Are they?
I forget.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, that's the implication of a lot of the werewolf stuff.
Okay.
Regardless, this is like the darkest color skin person that's introduced in the book, and they're there for 2 seconds as proof of like, yeah, it's fine.
Yes, at least they're not held up as some kind of bad example. In fact, they're such a good example that this guy saves all the vampires, because it's like, look, he's fine.
True, but then there's also a big deal made out of like him leering at Renesmee, and it turns out it was
true.
That it was actually, he was like, it solved his like mommy issues seeing Bella being alive.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, very weird. Like, yeah, the climax, and also the fact that the main climax here came from someone just like immediately jumping to conclusions and without doing any work whatsoever to verify that these people have nothing but time. Okay. They are immortal. All they have is time. They can think as long as they want about literally everything. And yet the moment Arena here, like, sees this baby or whatever, she's like, this is fucked, and leaves. It's so dumb.
How much of a snitch do you have to be to see something for a second and then immediately fuck off to Italy from Seattle?
Yeah.
Or wherever.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. This also brings us back around. What are the final words of the book? I'm not sure if I highlighted them, but.
Well, let me get there. They're really bad.
Sorry. And then we continued blissfully into small but perfect piece of our forever. Which brings us to my fundamental issue with vampires and the appeal of being a vampire. Immortality is the rawest deal.
Yeah.
I don't care if you get superpowers. I don't care if you get hot.
It's a curse.
You can like jump. Immortality is the most terrifying thing possible.
1,000,000%.
Can you imagine not only getting married at 18, you're now stuck with them. You are stuck
forever.
With the person that you are in love with at 18 forever.
Yeah, that's right.
Thinking about that with mine, I would go straight to the Volturi and be like, all right, guys, fuck me up. I'm done.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
So you're going to be around for the heat death of the universe and then still you don't die?
So this is actually in a bit of a non sequitur. This is why I think legitimately the finale of The Good Place is like one of the best TV finales of all time. Did you watch The Good Place?
I watched the first season and then lost interest.
The end, minor spoilers, well, total spoilers for Good Place. At the end, they basically reinvent heaven. And the whole problem with heaven is that heaven sucks shit because you live forever and then nothing is interesting and you turn into an idiot. And basically their fix is they create a door that you can walk through when you're ready to die or move on to whatever is next and nobody knows what it is. So they give you an out. The problem is immortality being awful. And whenever you feel ready to move on, you can move on. Amazing. Such a good idea. It's what these fuckers need. Because immortality sucks and it's not appealing.
Yeah.
100%.
It's the same reason like when the Black Mirror San Junipero episode came out and everyone was like, oh my God, it's so romantic. And it's like, this lady is throwing away the afterlife with her entire family so she can run off with this girl that she's known for like 2 months. And that's who you're going to spend eternity with. That's not a happy ending.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Couldn't agree more. Every time anyone says eternity. Yeah. And then there are physics questions, right? What is happening in the universe? The sun's going supernova and exploding the earth. Okay, so you're a vampire. You could, in principle, live on fucking Mars, I guess, except you need blood, so you need other living things. By the way, fake blood, you think all the vampire scientists would be fucking working on this shit because they have nothing but time.
You've got like 300 years to figure out how to synthesize it or come up with some better system.
It is literally your only problem. You need blood. That's it. That's the only thing you've ever needed.
You can single-mindedly focus on getting that.
And also, by the way, if you're like, that's a problem, go, you know, find some scientists, real smart ones, make them vampires. Be like, guess what? This is your problem now, dude. Like, you know, get people that can help you with this.
Infinite money, I guess, just because you've been alive a long time. Give grants to people who could figure it out.
But it is straight up said, by the way, they can predict the stock market, too. Like,
yes!
There's a line. At one point, it's like, not only do they have infinite money
about
from
Alice.
The past. Yes.
Yeah.
Not only do they have infinite money from the past. Alice can be like, you know, buy at 300, Apple. It's like, okay, sure. Now, as if they didn't have enough power, they can also predict financial markets.
The wastefulness with the clothes also really bothered me.
Oh my God.
It's like vampires of all people who are going to be here longer than all of us. Wouldn't you be the ones the most trying to not contribute to like pollution and waste? Cause you don't get the benefit of dying and opting out of shithell climate change world.
Yeah. 100%.
Like wait in the car fetishism. You're vampires. You can run. Why the fuck do you need a car?
100%. But there's a before car and an after car. It's like
This is the armored car I bought for my wife because I'm so afraid
of her
being injured.
That people are like, whoa, was it an Aston Martin Guardian or something like that? I don't even know if that's a real car.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
One thing I was fascinated by in this book were the various numbers that are thrown out there, including there are 43 witnesses that I guess are over
43 people.
Why are there so many and why is it 43? And also there are the scientist Carlisle uses inches, which is insane, to measure Bella's stomach and the and Renesmee's, like, you know, whatever proportions. Yeah. Including at one point, so at first he's like, oh, it's like a 16th of an inch or a 32nd of an inch. Okay, that's cool. At one point, and I'll find this somewhere, 1/84th, which is not a power of two, is used.
It's talking about like how quickly Bella does something, right?
Yes, I believe it's like in 1/84th of a second, right? It was,
yeah.
Where is this? I'll find this somewhere. But it was like, I could not believe the fraction 1/84th, which I don't believe has ever been in print anywhere, showed up in this book. It was just fucking nuts.
Okay, I found two incredibly good Mary Sue moments
Can you search in the book for words?
You can. Oh, how you do can. I? Okay. That's why I read this on Kindle. On the chapter that's literally called Talented, which is chapter 31.
Yeah, here it is.
And this is one from Bella's point of view. I was only half listening to Kate, my thoughts racing around the idea that I might be able to protect my little family if I could just learn fast enough. I wished fervently that I might be good at this projecting thing, too. Like I was somehow mysteriously good at all the other aspects of being a vampire.
Yeah, I highlighted this as well. Yeah.
And then there's also the description. I think this is maybe from the lawyer describing Bella. She looks like ... His eyes ran from my face to my shoes appreciatively. Well, she looks like a freaking supermodel. Yes. That's what she looks like.
Yep.
I smiled and he winked at me, then went on. Rockin' body, pale as a sheet, dark brown hair almost to her waist, needs a good night's sleep. Any of this sounding familiar?
Yeah. Yes, I that supermodel thing stood out to me too.
And she smiles. If a random man described me as looking like a supermodel, I would start spitting like
also,
a lizard.
Well, not only is he describing you in this case as a supermodel, he's talking to his buddy on the phone. So imagine a random, you're at a store. Okay. There's like a cashier or whatever, a clerk working there on the phone with his friend. And he's looking at you. He's like, long blonde hair, rockin' bod, fake blood dripping from the corners of her mouth. You know, like rockin' bod? Also, who rockin' says fucking bod. Rockin' bod? A rockin' bod with, whatever.
From the chapter 17, from Jacob's perspective, what do I look like? The Wizard of Oz, you need a brain, you need a heart, go ahead, take mine, take everything I have, etc. Mm-hmm. It's when Jacob is so upset about how in love with Bella he is that he wants to go find somebody to imprint on. So he just like drives to a random park, fucking Ted Bundy freak.
And is like staring at every woman.
Evaluating. But the way that it's described is, I walked around for what felt like hours, long enough that the sun changed sides in the sky. I stared into the face of every girl who passed anywhere near me, making myself really look, noticing who was pretty and who had blue eyes and who looked good in braces and who had way too much makeup
braces.
On. Like, okay, so like creepy. I know he's 18, it's still technically a teenager, but like
creepy.
If he didn't choose an infant for his soulmate, maybe I would look at that a little bit more charitably. But
yeah. Can we talk about the epigraph that's an Orson Scott Card quote?
Oh, yes, we can.
I was like, why would you pick a writer, even at the time, noted for being a grievous homophobe and all-around asshole? Like, this is the thing that you know about Orson Scott Card, is that he completely fucked his reputation after Ender's Game.
And in a completely ridiculous, like, anti the message of his own work.
100%. Yes.
Way.
And when this book was written, whenever it was, 2008-ish, I guess, this was not a secret. People knew this. He was vociferously an asshole to queer people for years. When I saw Orson Scott Card there, I was like, what? I just couldn't even believe it. It's not like this book was written before the fucking internet. It's 2000, the 2000s. That really threw me for a loop.
You know, it was a really insensitive portrayal that I really hated. Oh, what was I watching that I got so mad about this too? This is unfortunately a really common thing that happens. in many media, but the bit where Leah, the girl, the only girl werewolf, is talking ever. About how she's not really a woman because she can't have kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is like really languished over.
Yes.
I'm a genetic dead end and we both know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacob saying the only female werewolf in the history of forever. Was that because she wasn't as female as she should be?
Yes.
Stephanie yes. Meyer, shut the fuck up. Please, for the love of God. Thanks.
Yeah. Just, I mean, implicitly homophobic, for one, but also just demeaning and trite.
Is it homophobic or is it transphobic?
Well, both. Right.
It is both.
You're right. It is transphobic as well. It's both.
It's both. Okay. Yeah. It took me a second.
Implicitly rather than explicitly, but still, yes.
Yeah. And also just like, again, that's one of those things that's just, infertility is a thing that affects a lot
yes!
of people. What a wonderful way to phrase. It's the same as like in the event, whichever Avengers 27 where the Black Widow is talking about how she's a monster because she can't conceive. Guess what? It's a thing that happens. It's not some sort of moral personal defect. It's a thing. It's a thing that happens. That's very painful for the people that it happens to.
Yeah.
Using
totally.
It like this is so fucking regressive and ridiculous. And you would hope that Stephanie Meyer as a woman would like know not to do that. And what does this even apply to? Why is this relevant? Why did this need to be here?
Can we talk about briefly in chapter 13, how the phrase bada bing is used
to indicate a rim shot?
A rim shot. That's right. Bada bing. Great. Now is the court jester. Bada bing, I mumbled. I is Jacob here. In a weak rim shot impression.
I mean, it's true that that is a weak rim shot impression, but traditionally in the written form, it's ba-dum-ts,
yes,
you piece of
correct.
Shit.
Bada bing. What is bada bing? So, I mean, it's like yada yada. It's a bada bing, a bada boom, right? Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's any specific onomatopoeia, but yeah, like the rim shot thing. I saw red there. I was like, what are you fucking talking about?
Oh, did you see red just like Bella's vampire eyes that she has to wear contacts to cover up?
Which change back to normal faster than anyone could have expected, right?
And that's, the vampire venom dissolves the contacts.
Also,
so she
the
has
use
to
of the word
replacing
venom
them.
Really pissed me off. Venom.
Yeah. What venom? Okay. What fluids are we talking about? Is the only fluid in a vampire's body the venom? Because you have
no,
like...
No, well, they've definitely got that vampire cum also, right? As
right.
Established.
No, but hold on. You have lacrimal fluid, right? Which is tears. I don't know if that is the same word for just whatever keeps your eyes moist. I'm assuming that it is. So do you just have multi-purpose vampire fluid? Because she mentions swallowing when she's a vampire. Not necessarily
she
while she's eating, but just that she swallows.
Mm-hmm.
But what vampire cum are we working with?
They talk about this. You don't need to keep your eyes moist. That's why you have to pretend to blink, right?
Yes.
So your eyes are not moist. You just pretend.
But
that
that's
they
the
are.
Thing. Do you? If she's putting the contacts in, how much is the contact fluid staying in there?
Because
I mean,
well, that's right. Because so the yeah, exactly right.
I think I highlighted this bit because I could just hear like Sigma Male Grindset.
Mm-hmm.
Music over it. I could see why there was never more than one alpha male in a pack. My body was responding to the challenge. I could feel the instinct to defend my claim rising in me. The primitive core of my wolf self tensed for the battle of supremacy.
Yeah.
Bruh.
It's...
Oh, I hated this one so much. This one made me so mad. I think this is from a... No, this is from a Jacob chapter. I told you, I started to say, and then that I have to explain this further because the way this is written is clumsily, but this is Bella saying, did you know that I told you so has a brother, Jacob? She asked,
cutting
me off.
His name is... Can I remember it? Hold on. What? Oh, fuck. I highlighted this too.
Just let me get through it.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I told you, did you know that I told you so as a brother, Jacob? She asked, cutting me off. His name is Shut the Hell Up. Good one. She grinned at me, her skin stretched tight over the bones. I can't take credit. I got it off of a rerun of The Simpsons. Missed that one. It was funny.
It was funny. Yes. Also, is that a Simpsons quote?
I don't know. I finished the book so recently prior to recording that I didn't bother to fact check that.
Yeah, it was funny.
But even if Shut the Hell Up being the brother of I Told You So was a Simpsons joke, that's a pretty mid one.
It's not a good one. No, it's not funny. It doesn't even read as a joke.
No. You know,
it reads as a retort, which is a different thing.
No, you go ahead. I just did one, so you should do
I was going to say, okay, so at some point, I believe Jacob is watching his niece, Claire. Who is this?
Is she the one that the other guy imprinted on?
Bella. Sorry, this is Bella watching Claire. I don't know who this is. Anyway, there's a toddler named Claire early
this
on.
This is the imprinted upon toddler.
It is. Okay. Can we talk about, this is on page 57 I have here. The dialogue that Claire uses, the baby talk.
Oh my God.
Which is, I wrote down, this is the worst baby talk I've ever read. Que pue wid quill all day. Que never going home. Now, you could argue that she did a good job because I know exactly what she's fucking talking about here. But it is viscerally bad.
There's a difference between toddler speak and just got punched in the nose and is struggling to talk through the gush of blood speak, which is what that sounds like.
Yes. Quill all wet now. Oh, fucking upsetting.
Ew. This is in the same space where it's like, yeah, I guess he's going to have to wait like 15 years before he can stick it in. Like,
yeah, you're right. That's what this was. Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. I hated that baby talk so fucking much.
I have another one.
Yeah.
This is from a Jacob chapter. In fact, it's from sure as hell didn't see that one coming. Mm-hmm. Worse still, this new image I'd never had before, one that by all rights shouldn't have existed for me. Not yet. An image I knew I wouldn't have suffered over for years if he hadn't shoved it in my head now, but it stuck there, winding threads through my brain like a weed, poisonous and unkillable. Bella, healthy and glowing, so different than now, but something the same. Her body, not distorted, changed in a more natural way. Round with my child. Round with my child.
Yep.
No.
Terrible. Terrible.
I can't imagine. Can you imagine if you were a teen who was Team Jacob all the way, and this is how dirty you get done in this book? Yeah. Even though it was always clear she was going to go with Edward. Twilight's the vampire books. Duh.
Yes, that's right.
But not only is Jacob a sad little incel for most of this book where he's like, and this is right before this. This is when Edward's suggesting to him that he tell Bella that they let them kill the baby so that Jacob can knock her up and have his baby.
Is going to work somehow, I guess.
I couldn't think about what he was suggesting. It was too much, impossible, wrong, sick. Borrowing Bella for the weekends and then returning her Monday morning like a rental movie? So messed up. So tempting. Horrible.
Yes. Totally. I thought the same thing. I liked the scene where, okay, so speaking about this baby, she's pregnant. She's getting sicker and sicker and sicker. It is presented like the ultimate revelation when someone's like, should she maybe drink blood? When it is probably the first thing you would try if you know she's
no
got a
shit.
Vampire
she's
baby
losing out. Weight and looks terrible. Like,
well, also, can't the baby drink her own blood? Like,
I think that was partially
there.
The implication that it was sapping her so much because it was doing that.
I see. Okay, I didn't pick up on that. But still, it's like the fact that everybody there is like, whoa, oh my, what, fuck it, yeah, why, you know, yeah, they're vampires. Give her some blood. And then she's like, oh, yummy blood, blah, 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 yeah, give me that blood. Oh, it tastes so good.
And Jacob is disgusted by her drinking the blood. It's like, bro, you're a werewolf.
Yes.
You sleep outside.
You kill animals all the time.
Yeah. Why is this suddenly a problem for you?
Yeah. At one point in the book also, they seem to hedge on whether things are magic or not. Have you noticed this? And it's kind of like this extra chromosome thing. At some point, someone's like, Edward's like, oh, our little supernatural world. But also, at a different point in the book, and I can't remember where it is, they talk shit about magic. Like, it's not just magic. Yes, it is. Everything
seems
in this
pretty
book
magic,
is magic
to me.
Yeah.
The ancient Italian vampires.
Yeah. I looked over, speaking of them, I looked over the covens in the back. Is a coven two people now? Half these covens have two vampires in them. Is that a coven, or are they just the two representatives of that coven that are in the book?
I have no idea. The way it looks
in the vampire glossary is that this is the coven, and it's very funny because it's like a coven of two.
Me and my dog. Yeah. We're a coven.
Yeah, exactly. Coven. Have you ever seen American movie?
No, I haven't, but I've been meaning to watch it. And I only found that out because I was saying coven wrong and somebody brought that up as a reference point, and I've never lived that down. So
it's were you saying coven?
Yes.
You know why he doesn't want to pronounce it coven, right?
No.
Because in the movie, he says it's not coven, it's coven, because coven rhymes with oven and ovens aren't scary.
I beg to differ.
It's fucking great.
I don't trust the box in my home that gets to insane temperatures.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Do we have anything else useful to say about this book? We've been blathering about it for an hour.
I mean,
and a half.
Useful, no. But at this point, this feels like I'm purging this out of my body in the same way that Bella purged the vampire. Okay, everybody loves this baby so much.
Best baby ever, like 5 out of 5 stars, A+. Half
need
human,
I
half vampire.
Need I remind everyone how that baby almost looked and then did look when they tried to fix it in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
This terrifying little rapidly aging child. Once again, Bella is 18. She is going to be 18 forever. And Edward is like the most boring. If you're going to pick somebody that you're going to spend not only your natural life, but your immortal life with, at least pick someone who's kind of a freak.
Yeah.
Edward is just so boring.
Well, this is the thing about this book. And it's not unlike some other examples. We are told that's maybe the least point. That sentence I just said had no content whatsoever, a lot like this book. We are told over and over how smart, funny, talented, etc. all these people are. And then no one does anything smart. No one does anything talented. We're just told over and over how exceptional everybody is without any evidence of that being the case, except for Bella, who is preternaturally great at everything she's ever wanted to be great at.
But like, she's clumsy. She trips and she gets
the world's first
nervous.
Clumsy vampire. Oh no. But she can react.
But no, then she's more graceful than anyone. And they're all shocked at her ability to be good at being a vampire and controlling her urges.
Yeah.
Can I tell this? Yes, I can. I think I can make this big enough.
These are good. I love a can I say this story, Layden?
Okay, so I was in middle school and there was an English class that I was in that, you know, every couple of months we were able to do like a book project where we got to pick from a list of things that we could do and that would be how we presented it. So it would be something like write a poem about it. The one that was always so popular is that you could bake a cake. And so pretty much every couple of, you know, every month or whatever, there'd be a day where like 5 people would bring in different book themed cakes. And it was just like the best day ever because it's
That's
just
cool.
like, I get to have 5 cakes in English class. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a kid who I will give no more details about, who one of the books that this person picked was Breaking Dawn. And one of the options you could do for the, you know, project for whatever book you were reading was that you could write a series of letters from the perspectives of the characters. And so this kid in my class read this book and then wrote a series of letters from Bella to Renesmee describing what happened on the honeymoon.
Oh my God. Like all the fucking.
Without directly saying the fucking, but talking about like, and there were feathers everywhere and the headboard broke. So as you can imagine, this class of 12-year-olds, all of us quietly, desperately trying not to lose our shit. But I wish that person well.
That's fantastic.
God bless and keep you, because that's a cherished memory. Yeah, and the absolute great. The self-confidence to do that, I admire.
Truly amazing. No, absolutely.
Because at that age, if I had done something like that, I would have immediately self-immolated, much like the vampires make Irina or whatever her name.
Yeah.
Do.
No, same.
But the feathers thing always stuck with me. So going into reading this book, I was very excited to read about the feathers because it's such a vivid detail.
Can you please? So I sent you a text earlier today with a screenshot. Did you get this? It was from
I
read online.
Where was the review from?
I can't remember, and I kind of don't want to say.
So,
but
do you want me to read the whole thing?
No. Just like the one sentence.
The context.
Yeah.
Breaking Dawn answered all of the burning questions that had been left from the previous books. Would Edward and Bella finally marry and have their happily ever after ending? Would Bella be turned into a vampire? Would Jacob find a happy ending even though he couldn't seem to let Bella go? Would the Volturi, who covet Edward's and Alice's powers, find a reason to come after them? The answers to all these questions and more I hadn't even thought of, came together to create a romantic, tense, and action-packed final volume in the Twilight Saga. I was very pleased with the tight plotting, and this is the part that Brian highlighted in his screenshot, and I'm happy to say that I found no holes of any kind.
A book without plot holes.
I'm going to stop there and say, yeah, there's a severe lack of fucking holes in this book.
That, of course, was the other thing I thought. But where I'm going with this is not only this person claims there's no plot holes when we just described like 30 of them, but also people love this book. People, you look at online reviews of it, they're generally glowing. People think this book fucking rules. Not my wife, who read all the Twilight books and was like, I gave up on this one because it was so fucking stupid.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should have had Rachel as a special bonus guest on this.
Honestly, she should have read. Yeah, she should have read this one, too. I didn't realize that she knew a bunch about it until I was deep in it and sighing audibly in our living room. but people love this book. So this again, as do Angels and Demons. So I will say, as always, you know, I will never have as much money as Stephanie Meyer does. She is a fantastically successful author. People love her work and it means a lot to them. So,
hey, and 50 Shades of Grey, also huge Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah, totally.
Like, get your bag.
People
and
are.
Over the years, I have read the gamut of weird fan fictions, anything you could think of.
Yeah.
When that tags list is a million miles long,
that's
and
you
don't
want.
Recognize half of the words on there.
Oh, yeah.
I have read them. I have cried to them. I've done other stuff.
Sure.
Even sometimes they're
I've done other stuff is doing a lot of work there, but we're going to just move on out of respect for your personal
it is.
Privacy.
Thanks. Like there's the strangest constellation of things. Sometimes you find somebody who can barely string a sentence together. It makes no sense. But something about the dialogue is so fucking fire. I don't know what it is, but for certain people, they cannot do grammar or spelling or whatever. Yep. And then they write the best dialogue you've ever written. Mm-hmm. I don't understand it, but that's magic to me. So I'm the last person who should ever cast aspersions about what people are into, what they find hot, what they get off to, whatever. However, I simply ask, have higher standards, because you can do better than this, and you can do better than this for free. You're welcome. The internet exists.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. Yeah, it's so... how anybody could read this and think, this is it. This is not only the book for me, it's also so hot. It's so sexually charged. Like,
also, okay, at the same time, though, for a lot of people, a fade to black is all they want. That's why all of the sex in Dream Daddy is fade to black. Obviously, we didn't want to alienate people who didn't want to have more explicit stuff.
Sure. I get it.
However, that's not what I'm fucking looking for here. All right. I'm an adult woman. I pay taxes. If I came in here to read 200,000 words about characters from a thing that I've never watched, they better, there's better, there needs to be whole, okay? There needs to be holes in things going into the holes.
Well, especially when so much of the book is talking about it. That's the other thing.
Yes.
It's not like it's just a fade to black where it's kind of implied. People talk about the amazing fucking that's happening. Like, it's nobody's, you know, they go on and on about it. They're really psyched about how all this fucking. And then you gotta, I think you gotta see it to some extent.
Then
I think
show
it is,
the hole.
Yeah.
Coward.
Show the hole. Show the hole, coward. Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening to this episode of Late Night.
Yeah.
If you have any suggestions of other books that we should torture ourselves with, we would love one that is more in the angels and demons lane than this.
Fine.
Because if I have to put myself through the horror, I love reading. I read constantly. I have stared at my Kindle app with revulsion, knowing that I would have to sit and continue to read this book. Let's do this regularly. I love tearing apart a book. It's very fun. Thanks for listening. Patreon.com/late night.
Yep. You want to see now your double bloods going on here with your lips, or your mouth, I should say. I want to find a book that you and I have wildly different opinions on.
Yes.
I'm curious what that would be. I think it would be a challenge, honestly, to find such a thing, because we're generally on the same page about stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be tough. I think for us to have wildly different opinions, it would need to be something that's like Twilight, so that it would be like something that's for my demographic and not yours, that I think I would, because I wanted to defend this. I legitimately, when we first came up with this idea, I was like, I'm going to buy a Team Edward shirt and I'm going to show up to this record wearing it, because I'm like fucking ready to go.
Yeah.
No, I just can't do it. I don't like to be a hater. Hating comes to me naturally, but I fight the urge, but sometimes.
But I don't think you and I would differ on whether something is well written or not. Really, right?
Yes.
I feel like generally, you know, we might have preferences one way or the other, but generally speaking, if you thought something was well written, I think I would agree with it essentially 100% of the time. Now, what's more likely to happen based on what you're saying right now, and I think this is right, is there'd be something where I'd be like, I just don't understand this at all, because it's something that you know more about than I do, or vice versa.
Yeah.
But that's different than, I think, this book sucks.
Maybe going back to my recent episode that was just me and Allie, where we were talking about the horny axis, where it becomes a point where it doesn't matter if the thing is good, if it's hot enough. Mm-hmm. And if the rituals are intricate enough, that's the thing. I know we're making this episode long. I know that it's short turnaround. We got to make it short. The rituals are not intricate enough in this. If they're not going to fuck, if you're not going to show them fucking, you need to show me some proxy eroticism. I need detailed. I need the piano scene in Stoker. The girlies know what I'm talking about.
I definitely don't.
Did you ever see Stoker?
Bram Stoker's Dracula? Yes.
You wouldn't like it. But the movie Stoker, there's a very, it's like things can be sexually fucking charged without it just being bland, Oh, by the way, we had sex. We won't stop talking about having sex. Now the worst part of having sex, I'm pregnant. Ha ha. Yay.
Yeah, right.
The worst
or the best?
If you're Jacob Black, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have suggestions for books, we'd love to hear them. Patreon.com/LateInNight. Please support the show so we can use that money to buy more terrible books.
Yeah. Do you want to read, once again, the very end of this book, Leighton? Can you just finish us off, no pun intended, actually, yes, with the very end of this book, from chapter 39,
I've got to
Happily
get there
Ever After.
In the same way that I never got there with this book. And then continue.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Please.
Chapter 39, The Happily Ever After, final lines. And then we continued blissfully into this small but perfect piece of our forever. Show hole, coward.
Show hole. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Late Night is produced by Brian Wecht and Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/LeightonNight. Follow us on Twitter at @LeightonNight, on Instagram at @Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.